Well, with that, would you open up your scriptures? I did honestly say that I could just say amen and what you've heard this morning, but I do want to open up the word and hear the word of God. What we know about elders and deacons come to us from many places in the scripture, but 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 is one of them. So would like you to read that, and if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1845. It says, it's titled Overseers, Qualifications for Overseers in the Church. Paul says, through Timothy to the church, here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage their family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in too much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children well and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. I write these things to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up in glory. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. I knew a couple who adopted a young boy from another country, and this child lived in an orphanage for the first 5 years of his life. And in that time, he suffered a lot of neglect and trauma, as you can imagine. It was not an easy life. But then one day, he was adopted and welcomed into a caring, safe, loving family. Now, in this new place, this boy had to learn a new way of living. And learning didn't come naturally. So often, he lived as if he were still in the orphanage. He had acquired some survival skills during those years. When food was often scarce, he had learned there how to hoard food and candy. And this couple then knew that from time to time, like if he was here at Children's Church, he would grab a whole handful of candy. Not because he was greedy, but because you never know when that candy supply is going to run out and he would go hungry again. Don't get any ideas, boys and girls. You get two. But in this new environment, the expectations are different. He had to be taught. He had to learn that his parents were not going to leave him, that he was going to be welcomed with open arms. And in the same way, I think the message here is what elders and deacons are doing in the church is trying to help us who were formerly orphaned. We were not children of God, but now we are children of God. And we have to learn what it means to be a part of the family of God. And that's why their role is so important. With time and patience, they teach us what that means. And when Paul wrote this letter to the to Timothy, he says in verse 3, verse 16, I am writing you these instructions so that, and this might be a key to what the purpose of Timothy is, so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God. And by God's sovereign grace, they were provided with shepherds and overseers and servants, elders and deacons, we call them. Now in their new family, they have to learn the mystery of godliness. And what we're all trying to learn is, who is Jesus Christ? That's why this summary is so great. It's a mystery. We did not know for years in the Old Testament that it was all about knowing who Jesus was. He appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen, he was preached, seen by angels and preached among the nations and was believed on in the world and taken up in glory. So that's really what we're doing too. We are trying to learn how to be better followers of Jesus Christ, to know what we believe and why we believe it. And elders and deacons help us in that process. They're gifted people. Today we installed them. And many of them, all of us indeed, will say that I don't know that we have these qualifications. We'll go over them. But see, we don't select our leaders in the same way that the world does. We have a different standard. God gives different gifts to different people and calls them to positions, and then he equips them to serve in that position, to do the work that they need to do in a skillful and wonderful way, to serve others with selfless love. So we have elders. I just want to say a word to those elders again. Just kind of repeat. What kind of leaders are we looking for in overseers or elders? Paul uses the word overseers, and literally he's saying, I give you the job of overseership. You're supposed to look over the congregation. He uses the same word in Acts 20, verse 20 through 28 through 29, where he says to the elders, he says, keep watch over yourself and all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. There's that word. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. William Grinnell is a Puritan pastor, and he noted that Satan loves to single out leaders. And he says, be they on the throne, in the church, or as heads of households. And he says, what better way to infect the whole town than to poison the cistern where they draw their water? I like that word picture. You picture that, you want to destroy a community, just poison their water. And it'll have a big effect. So he goes on to talk about how you have a minister, for example. He delights in corrupting the heart of the minister. That's why you have to keep praying for your pastor and your pastors. Satan wants to corrupt their heart. And I would add elders and deacons too. Leaders. Ministry leaders. He wants to corrupt your heart too, because if he can get at you, he's going to do a lot of damage in the church. It's like a cancer that happens. So that's why we look for people that are above reproach. I'm not going to go into detail on each one of these, but elders have to be above reproach. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but that they are morally careful and responsible. Husband of one wife, it's faithfulness in marriage is essential. People should be able to look at our relationships and see how faithful you are to your vows, how you treat your spouse with respect and cherish her more than any relationship outside of Jesus Christ. Not so that they can say, oh, you have such a good marriage, but so that they can say, I see in you a reflection of Christ's love for his church. It's so important. They must be temperate and self-controlled. Whether they talk about alcohol here, you don't want a drunken a leader in your church who always imbibes in too much. And it doesn't mean just alcohol, but riches, position, or any kind of other temptation, that they are very self-controlled. That they are respectable and hospitable. That they are well regarded by outsiders. People should look at the character of our life. They don't have to believe what we believe, but they should say that, yeah, but you are an honest man. I know that I can trust you. Able to teach. If I had time, I would expand on this. I grew up in a time where elders were the teachers from the youngest grades on. Some of you will remember that. And it was, you would have various. Some were very good teachers, remember them well. Some were not so good. Don't remember them so much, but you learn a lot. But elders had to be teachers, able to teach. He repeats, not given to drunkenness or violence, gentle, not quarrelsome, free from the love of money. They manage their house and family well. This comes up again and again. That's a word to the elders. Those are the kind of people that we need, and none of us feel like we have that qualification. And then deacons, it's no less noble, and in some ways, Paul says, in the same way, deacons have to show those same kind of character traits that are found in elders. Worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain, keeping hold of the deep truths of faith. Deacons is a spiritual responsibility as well. It's just distinct in its application. If you think that anybody can just be a deacon, no. They have to be able to lay hold of the deep truths of faith with a clear conscience. They must be first tested, worthy of respect. They as well need to be faithful to their wives and lead their family well. And what does that look like in their everyday life? When you get these kind of leaders, the congregation is inspired to be faithful stewards of all we have. Deacons teach us the deep truths of the faith. They prompt us to worship God. They encourage us with words that create hope and bring joy into the lives by the things they do. That's a word to the deacons. Now, a word to the congregation. The picture that Paul is presenting here is a church building that is built on a solid foundation. The church needs people who will give themselves for the Word of God. I would like to think that as we consider, now you have to ask yourself this, when we first started asking, who do you think in this congregation we should approach to be elders and deacons? I would think that we would ask these kind of questions. Who do I respect enough to follow and obey in the role of an overseer and servant, that I would follow this person and obey them? Who models a Christ-like life to me that is worthy of honor and trust? Who has taught me Scripture or modeled for me its truth privately and publicly? Or to whom would I be willing to go if I needed biblical advice or wise counsel? Those are the kind of questions that we need to ask in the selection of these people, because these are the people who have proved themselves over time. So this is where I want to say, this is not just about elders and deacons. I think we fight this all the time. When someone is appointed, it's now their job, and now the rest of us can sit back. No, we need to be nurturing these We need to strive. We need to desire to have these qualities in our own life. We all, each one of us, has a part to play. They're doing their work, and we need to do our work according to God's call in our life. We all have to play a part in raising former orphans, teaching one another how to live as sons and daughters in this forever family that will not reject you or forsake you, who will welcome you and walk with you, who will give you wise counsel when you need it. See, we live in a culture that's so much against that. We just are consumers, and it's hard to not have that mentality hit the church. We come here for what we want, what we're looking for. We take what we want and what we need. And then you want to come to church. Maybe you like the songs. Maybe it's the children's church, a Bible study, preaching, Lord's Supper. You come what you think you need for what's important to you. If all of us here come looking to take, then there will be no godly leaders or godly servants. None of these would exist without all of us giving of ourselves for each other. So notice what Paul says in verse 15. He says, I am writing these things so that we will behave rightly as the church, the people of God. So we gather here with our church family. I think all of us should take an opportunity to step outside of our comfort zone, to get to know another member of the family that you don't normally interact with. Don't just leave that up to the elders and deacons. We all have our part to play in the body of Christ, no matter how young you are or how old you are. There is no age limit on God's gifting to people. So the next time that the elders come and ask you to do something, to take a role that you would not naturally be drawn to, ask yourself, is this an opportunity for me to learn something new? Can I be humbled? Not proud by that. You see, in doing that, we're not doing anything different than what Jesus himself modeled. He willingly came, dwelt in the midst of his people, and got to know them. He did not consider the cross beneath him. He died there to raise up lowly orphans like me, like you. Ground is level beneath the cross, and so his family ought to be marked by humble love. As new elders and new deacons have just been installed today, can we all make it a pledge? Pray continually for those leaders, support them where you can, but also consider the qualifications that God gifts to you to be a part of the family of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful Father in heaven, thank you that you have provided faithful and gifted people to serve as elders and deacons. As they assume their responsibility, fill them with your Spirit, endow them with your wisdom, and grant them your strength. Make them faithful workers in your vineyards. Under their guidance, may the church grow in every spiritual grace, in faith which is opened and unashamed. We all may come to a place more and more where we know what we believe and why we believe it. We will learn to love your word more every day, and that we will serve, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So in the work that they do, grant them a sense of sustained awe, that they might be able to find the work that you have called them to do pleasing and not just overwhelming. Lord, to that end, help us to gladly accept and encourage them, to pray for them regularly, to strive to do what we can to work with them. For the glory of your great name and the extension of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.